From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. La Crosse has been described as one of the best places to die because of an emphasis in the community on thinking about end-of-life care. One doctor is taking a unique approach to this type of care by using her skills as a death doula to help patients and family members prepare for death. Joining us now is Dr. Jackie Yeager from La Crosse. And first, Dr. Yeager, could you explain what a death doula is?
Well, sure. I get that question quite a bit. And it's a new vocation that's developing. And it's based on the concept of a birth doula and or a birth midwife. But people have discovered that sometimes they need someone who is skilled and experienced to guide them through the dying process as well. So a death doula, while it's not completely well-defined at this point because it's still new, but to me it's someone who assists people with the process of dying, like a birth doula assists someone with the process of giving birth.
Yeah, when did this this field start, this movement start of looking for kind of this non-traditional approach to end-of-life care?
Well, it's probably don't have a specific date for it yet because there's no certifying body, there's no like point in time, but I would say over the last 5 to 7 years probably.
And so you are also a palliative care doctor, and so you have maybe the more traditional, experience approach to end-of-life care. I wonder if you could maybe compare and contrast the two mindsets.
Well, when I now have a private practice in palliative care where I just do home visits, but up until a year ago, I was working within the system, and I knew my medications pretty well, but I wanted to seek out some more of the sacred space that I see when I'm with someone who's dying, and I wanted to learn more about ritual and ceremony and just how we could elevate the dying process to sort of its more rightful place in our society. And so when I chose the death doula training program that I did, it was one that didn't emphasize the practical parts about dying, but the spiritual parts. And so I chose the Conscious Dying Institute in Boulder. And Taryn Estes is the originator of that program. And it's very Boulder. And I remember her wondering if any place in the Midwest could be as progressive. And I said, oh, yes, La Crosse is very progressive, particularly when it comes to death and dying. So,
yeah, I wanted to touch on this idea because La Crosse kind of does have that reputation of not being afraid to have these conversations about end-of-life care. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, what that looks like here and why you think there is such a different mindset or a different approach to this.
Well, yeah, I think overall, even outside of La Crosse, people are very hungry to talk about death. They're becoming much more open, and it's happening really quickly. There's just this huge, like, awakening about, gosh, maybe we should take a hold of this dying process. And it might be the baby boomers. You know, they've always been ones to change society and to say, hey, I want to have some say-so in how this happens. And advanced care planning certainly talks about who will be your decision maker and maybe some basic details. But a death doula, at least in my program, I sit down and we develop a dying time care plan where we really look at the spiritual, emotional, physical, psychological, and practical aspects of dying. And we think about sort of where we want to be at that time, what is our vision for our dying time in each of those areas, and then where are we now in each of those areas, and what are the steps we need to take to make this happen. So I might think that I want certain kind of music when I'm dying, but until I tell somebody, make a list, maybe have them put together a playlist for me, then it's not really going to be accessible to me. So that's just a simple example of how we get from sort of where we're at now to where our vision is.
Why do you think those kinds of conversations around death and dying haven't necessarily been happening until up until this point?
Well, I think Western culture is a little reluctant to think about and talk about things we can't completely control and that we can't completely understand. And there's so much mystery about the dying process. We have a little bits of knowledge from people who've gone through near-death experiences. But so I think it takes some courage to really look at this thing called death and kind of lean into it. And really, and people are sort of awakening to that. In Eastern culture and many religions, they study death throughout their lives. And this is particularly the Buddhist culture. And really, the idea is not so that I will have the perfect death, but so that I will live my life more fully. And I think when we frame it that way, people are much more open to talking about it.
You mentioned earlier the idea of developing a sacred space for dying. And I wonder if you could just talk about what that is, what that looks like.
Well, I think it starts with a calm presence in the room. So when I come in, and I've been through this process before, and I use some of my mindfulness practices in my own head to calm myself, then everyone else in the room can kind of relax and stop trying to fix, stop trying to manage the death. So I provide that calm presence, and then I look around, and I try to see, or I talk to the family, and I try to think about what was important to this person. And if it's a religious affiliation, then we certainly want to draw on that for our rituals. But oftentimes, it may be their experience in the military, and you can see something on the wall that says this being a Marine was important to him. So maybe then I will draw on some patriotic music or something to play at the bedside and have the family help by singing some of those songs. I carry with me my go bag, and I have essential oils, and I have candles, and I have rose petals. And there's sort of just some very simple rituals that you can develop with things that are right there in the room. As long as you have water and something like rock that simulates the earth and fire, candles, you can just develop a very simple either honoring ritual for someone or perhaps a letting go kind of ritual. Maybe everyone in the room holds a stone and thinks about one thing that this person is worried about as they're dying and then drops it in the water. And then everyone drops in a rose petal for the blessings that this person may have provided for the family and just out loud honoring their life story.
You know, it sounds like this work is not only about providing comfort as someone passes, but about comforting their family, their loved ones who are gathered there. I mean, how much of your work do you feel like focuses on those people in the room as well?
Well, it's both, and it's easy to sometimes get swept up in the family drama, and sometimes you can come into the room and think, my goodness, the patient's been forgotten here. And so then I might really focus my attention on what I'm sensing, maybe their fear or a physical symptom. But oftentimes, the patient is very comfortable, because I can give the good drugs, too, which is a great part of, not every death doula has that access, but so if I can get the patient comfortable, but the family's still struggling, and families are always messy, and and the worst of us comes out during this dying time. And so, I'd say at least 50% of my work is in helping the family, because I figure that is going to have an impact for years and years to come. And maybe even modeling a calmness during the dying will affect the grandchildren in the room and how they look at death in the future.
That's Dr. Jackie Yeager here with us today to talk about end-of-life care and the needs of patients and their loved ones. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Earlier you mentioned that there seems to be a change in mindset of how people are thinking about, the end of their lives and preparing for their death. And I wonder if you could talk more about some of these generational differences we're seeing in talking about death and how you see those continuing in the future.
Sure. One movement that I find fascinating is the Death Cafe movement. And this is something that started in the UK and has now gone worldwide. And it's death cafes are just opportunities to sit down with strangers, have a little cake and tea, and talk about death. And we had one recently we've had six in La Crosse so far, but one that was amazingly well attended. There were 68 people at the one that we had at the Franciscan Spirituality Center. So we had tables of eight, and each table would have a conversation. And each table had multiple generations in it. We had young college students, we had octogenarians, and it's interesting for me to think about it may be easier for someone who's younger to say, oh yeah, death's just part of the life, part of life. But as you get closer and closer to that age when you might be dying, your perspective is going to change. And so there was a lot of intergenerational conversation going on at the table, which I think is so powerful for both age groups.
I know that a big part of your work is making house calls, going to where the patient is. I wonder if you could talk about why that's important and if you see that as a trend that's going to continue in healthcare, this return to the doctors visiting people in their home.
Well, I hope so. For me, it's the best way to assess a patient is to see them in their environment. You just get so much more information. It's more convenient for them, of course, also, but it's really about doing even better medicine when I can see them in the setting of their families. There is a trend, something called direct primary care coming around the country, and it has a similar pricing model to my practice, where there's a membership fee, and that covers all of your primary care for the month. And in those practices, the doctors are really leaving the system, starting their very own small solo practices, maybe in a one-room office, and lowering their overhead so that they can do things like home visits. They have enough time. They don't have to see 10,000 patients. They don't have to have that many on their panel. And so, and they're finding the joy of medicine. It's like pure doctoring. I love my job now, so there's got to be a change because our doctors are burning out and our patients aren't really happy all the time with how they're accessing care, especially our very elderly and those with, that's really who I seek to serve, are those people that really truly struggle to be able to get into the clinic for appointments. And right now, we don't have any other community-based palliative care in La Crosse, so I'm kind of hopefully starting a trend and we'll be able to grow so that I can help. And I'd love to have some partners eventually to share responsibilities with, too.
What drew you to this work?
Well, let's see. I've been a family physician for 28 years. And the first half of my career, I did a lot of obstetrics. And then I gradually worked, when my mom was dying, really developed an interest in end-of-life care. And I discovered how similar the intimacy and the sacred nature of dying is to being with someone who's giving birth. And so I was drawn to it because it's intense and it's intimate and it's, it just feeds my soul. End-of-life care, most people that work in end-of-life care do have a story about someone who's dying. And also there's been some tragedy in my life that's kind of woke me up a few years ago to how we need to live each day because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so I said, I'm just going to take this leap and start this little private practice and, you know, kind of hope for the best. So
I wonder if there is a downside, an emotional toll that this work can have on you, being with, you know, so many people as they pass and kind of witnessing that grief and loss.
Yes. And I think that is a problem potentially with doctors in palliative care, in any of the end-of-life providers, nurses, hospice workers. And for me, what's helped is an approach using mindfulness. And so I can be compassionate with someone. I can be truly with them, but at the same time, I'm aware of my thoughts. I'm aware of when my emotion starts to get triggered, and I can kind of let that go. And that really prevents me from being overwhelmed. They use a term in Buddhism called equanimity, where we just are able to truly be compassionate but not take on the suffering too much ourselves. And it really also serves the patient well, because if I am too empathetic and I start sobbing at the bedside, I don't really provide that sort of safe space for the family to grieve. You know, I need to be in control of my emotions so that I can act skillfully. I can provide that calm, you know, balanced presence in the room, and then allow the family to fall apart if they need to.
You know, we've talked about how La Crosse is a community that is aware of you know, preparing for end of life. But I wonder if there is, I don't know, there's still more progress that needs to be done in talking about death or mindful dying, as I know that you kind of described this process in this community.
Well, there are some number of different events coming up. I'm giving a day-long conference at the Spirituality Center just on how to be with dying, and, you know, how do we, even for our loved ones, apply these mindful concepts in order to sit at the bedside and kind of be a doula for our family members. So I don't think somebody necessarily has to be a professional doula in order to develop some of these skills. So I really look forward to some of the teaching that's coming up to help our community really tackle the tough stuff, but do it mindfully. And who knows where that could lead? La Crosse has been a leader in the world on dying issues, so it'll be exciting to see.
We've been talking with Dr. Jackie Yeager about her work as a death doula, providing end-of-life care for patients and support for grieving loved ones. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, including our interview with presenters from the International Death, Grief, and Bereavement Conference at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.